One, two, three, four.
Hello and welcome along to the New Music Podcast. Thank you so much for joining us today, ladies and gentlemen. My name's Adam Tinian, and today you've got a special treat, I think. It was the 50th session. It was a big deal from indeed. You guys. Sarah Mona are in session with me today. So we've got Jethro.
Hola.
We've got Rob and we've got Joe.
Hi.
Thank you so much. I got the names right.
I'm
sorry, guys.
Sweet success.
50th session, which was a big thing. And I remember we did like a little video for it, which was felt a bit awkward now I think back of it, because you were kind of pretending to do stuff. And I remember putting the camera right up in your face, because I remember getting like a little snippet for a special thing.
I just remember
you, Jethro, that you were just sort of like, you were just away. Your eyes were closed and you were properly in the moment.
I'm like that a lot of the time. Probably didn't even realise where I was.
Sensational. All right, so as is customary on the New Music Podcast, we're going to straight into the music. So we've got four songs to talk about today. So first one is Cold.
Yeah.
So I don't know how you guys are going to structure this podcast in terms of who wrote it and who wants to talk about the lyrics, but fire away, chaps.
Cold was actually our first song. These guys were jamming before I entered the band. They were looking for a singer. I managed to bump into Rob and Joe and Gav at a house party one day, and they said, "Oh, dude, yeah, just come and have a jam with us."
So you didn't know each other before at all?
No, we kind of knew of each other through music scene over the years, but never actually met face to face. I walked into the rehearsal studio, and they said, "Oh, this is something that we've been sort of rolling with." And I went, "Okay," and I listened to it, and then I just started pen to paper, writing lyrics, and just went off from there.
Simple as that. How long did it take you?
To write the lyrics, probably a solid 5-10 minutes.
Really?
I've been writing lyrics for years now. It all started with poetry in school, and then I just moved on. As soon as I 14-year-old started a band, started writing lyrics, and that's what I did for the majority of my life, is sit in my room, play my guitar and write lyrics.
Teenage angst.
Yeah. Paper. A lot of it was about how I hate everything. I find it easy to draw from situations and life stories and things like that, and just put it down pen to paper.
Okay.
It's always been the best way to vent as well. So
yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Very easy.
And so Cold came about in literally just a few minutes like that. And like, was there any specific thought behind it, or it was just like, this sounds good?
It was really cold in the practice room.
Yeah.
I'm not going
to lie. Are you kidding? That was
I'm not even joking. Like, it was cold.
It was January, wasn't it? We met each other. Freezing.
Really? Yeah.
We practiced.
Well, I think you said as a joke. You just went, "Oh, I'm cold," as he does.
Yeah.
And we were like, that kind of goes actually. Yeah. And then he just wrote it out. But it is special to us, isn't it? It's one of our favourites to play.
It's our favourite one to play.
Is it?
Yeah, we've only played one gig where we haven't played that song.
Okay.
And that was our last gig, wasn't it?
Yeah, we left that gig crying.
Never the same again. Contemplate splitting up.
Sounds special, guys.
So the lyrics came about pretty simply. Just sort of not long before that, had a bit of a rocky end to a relationship, so I sort of just drew things from there.
Okay.
And that's how the lyrics came about.
All right. Nice
one. And then the I'm Cold was purely situational at the time.
Fair enough. And no relevance to the current office that we're sitting in, which I don't know about you guys, but I'm baking, so.
It's lovely. Toasty. I think it's the company, if anything.
Hey. All right, well, let's give that a listen then. So this is the first track from today. This is Sarah Mona and Cold.
Hey!
like it's cancer. I know that you got no answers, no.
Right then, ladies and gents. So, right, before we get into track number two today, we're going to go with a couple of quick hits. So this is something I've introduced recently, so nothing too strenuous, guys. Don't worry, I'm not going to ask. You know, I'm not going to ask about like your opinions on the royal baby or anything really serious like that.
What?
Exactly. Yeah. But right. So let's just start. Just for no other reason, I'm going to start on the left. Okay, with you, Jeffro. So the first CD or single or any music that you ever bought.
First one I ever.
Or was bought for you, I suppose you could say.
For me.
But don't make it too cool.
Hashtag LimeWire. buying nothing.
Oh, LimeWire, I forgot about that.
Oh, yeah.
The hours I spent on LimeWire.
The hours downloading a video, hoping it was the video you wanted to turn out to be some weird animal porn. I remember those days clearly. First music I remember buying the first music I remember listening to like religiously was when I was about 8-9 years old, and I technically didn't own it, but I kind of borrowed my brother's CD Walkman, which had the Slim Shady LP in at the time.
Nice.
So I suppose that, because I kind of still have it.
All right, nice. That's a cool answer. Yeah. I'm waiting for someone to say Britney. Rob, you're going to let me down. What are you saying?
That's the name
of his car. That is actually the name of my car.
He's straight up E17.
Oh, man. Stay another day, brother. Come on. What are you saying?
For me, it was probably very stereotypical, but Nirvana.
Oh, yeah? Okay.
Yeah, just... To be honest with you, like, I didn't like anything on the radio when I was a kid. I hated it. Like, I was like not even really that much into music.
Okay.
Then I heard Smells Like Teen Spirit, and that was just, my mind just exploded.
Life-changing experience.
Yeah, literally. And then I sort of got into drums about the same time. So, yeah, it was just crazy, a massively sort of wild introduction into the world of music, and then it sort of rolled on from there. So.
Okay. I probably should have introduced you properly when I did. So, obviously, Rob, you're the drummer from the band. So, indeed. I don't know, maybe that's sort of some sort of influence for you as well, going with something like Nirvana.
Yeah,
all day long, man. Joe, go on. What are you saying?
Sort of maybe, well, I wouldn't say it shows my age, but like the first album I was
Beethoven.
it's all right. The joke is, in the band, I'm dust because I'm the oldest one in the band. A strong breeze of wind will blow me away, sort of thing. The first album I bought and was bought for me and I listened to religiously was All That You Can't Leave Behind by U2.
Okay.
So. Yeah, exactly. My street cred has gone
get their
straight
stuff for
down.
Free. They just automatically download it.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a good business model.
Yeah.
Everybody had the album.
No one fucking listened to it.
It doesn't matter. It's a download.
But I suppose, yeah, exactly. They can just go and point at how many people actually
had it. Yeah.
Yeah.
How many times was it downloaded on the first day of release?
Yeah. Yeah, literally
every
the
iPhone
famous,
in the world,
the most famous band in the world
Joe.
For a day.
Yeah, just me.
50,000 times. Please don't break up.
Please don't ever give up.
All right, back to you then, Jeffro. So, the first bit of live music you ever saw,
first
band or musician you ever saw live.
Oh, that would be it was unsigned. It was at the Red Lion in Gravesend.
Serious?
Yeah. Well, like I probably went to musicals and stuff and pantos. But I'm not classing that. So
yeah, right. All right, let's broaden it a bit then. So the first like big band, the first like either festival or proper thing you went to see.
When I was 13, 14, went to see Wednesday 13 play at the Apollo.
Oh
no, the Apollo Astoria. Is that where they did GAY?
Is that closed down now? Is that
the closed down? Yeah. It was Astoria Wednesday 13, which is. Of course, Wednesday 13 from Murder Dolls.
Yeah.
It's
Joey Jordison.
Joey Jordison wasn't in Wednesday 13.
But he was in Murder Dolls.
He was in Murder Dolls.
Well, that was awkward.
That was a nice little interlude
don't
there, guys. Thank you.
Don't test on my emo knowledge.
This is like 99% of Saramona is back and forth like this.
Yeah.
Just 20 minutes of arguments.
Streams of consciousness.
Rob, why don't you tell him about what we talked about in the car?
Rob, go. What was the first, go on, first big band or musician you ever saw?
16, Enter Shikari.
Oh, nice. Okay.
It was wicked. Held the bassist up, which was good. Just jumped into the crowd. Everyone grabbed hold of him. And that, it was just mental. Like, so much energy in one room. Like, I think probably stuck with me being in the band now. Just those guys are probably like sort of our age now, back then. So yeah, it was just crazy. Like, sorry,
cool,
a lot of went over on clapping their hands. Mental.
Yeah, that sounds cool.
Once. I like
Joe, you were laughing when I asked this question, so come on.
I don't want to say it.
Yeah,
yeah,
you do.
Do.
Come on.
It was girls allowed.
No, it's much, much worse.
Oh, jeez.
I was 16 and I saw The Lost Prophets.
Oh, no. Oh.
And now, suddenly, that's taking the whole
And then
downturn.
I got invited backstage.
Oh, no.
All the wine and drugs were flowing.
You could have made it up.
You could have done.
It's the one thing I can't do. I can't lie.
You know,
I can't lie.
You could have said Jason Donovan, and I was sort of, fair enough.
Yeah.
We'll cancel that one off the recording, maybe.
Oh, I feel for you, man. I feel for you. All right, let's just move on. Let's just skip past that as quick as possible. All right, so this is the final thing. So I've been thinking about to do this, because like, what I want you to do is get your phone out and hit shuffle, and I want to hear the most random track that you've got in your playlist. But it becomes a little bit awkward. So I think, as I've done in the last couple episodes.
I'm down for this. I'm down for this.
You want to do this?
Yeah.
All right.
I think you.
I don't have anything on my phone.
No, that's okay.
Oh,
all right. So,
my hardcore brutal.
So
playlist.
I'm gonna come back to you then. Yeah, I'm gonna come back to you for the end, Jeff. So for the question for you then is the track you listen to now obsessively, the track you can't get enough of.
At the moment, really, what am I listening to? I think it's Isaac Gracie, Silhouettes of You.
Okay.
Really, not the sort of stuff I usually listen to whatsoever. It's quiet. It's all sort of acoustic. Kind of like. I showed Jeff the other day, and it's like all like church harmonies in the background, but just so about
nice.
The way he plays, the way he throws his voice around.
Heavily reverbed, but it all works.
But it's nice, yeah. Like, cool, you can tell he takes a lot of time on his music, and it's just beautiful, to be honest with you. It's really nice. Chills me out. So.
Beautiful, man.
Yeah.
Joe, what are you saying?
Only because we covered it recently at a gig, but Portugal the Man. I can't remember the name of the song,
still.
But...
Yeah, Feel It Still.
Feel It Still, yeah.
Okay.
That's like stuck in my head all the time now.
Yeah. Nice. I suppose that'll do it.
I've got to be
honest,
like, when it first came out, I wasn't really that big on it. I was just like, it's all right. But then
bugged them until they
liked
it.
Yeah, exactly.
It's persistent. Maybe we should cover this.
That's the way to do it, man.
But yeah, no, that's the one that's stuck in my head all the time.
Okay.
Now, walk around the house.
Notifications, it's just Rob.
Yeah.
Same link over and over
again. We will play this song.
All right, back to you, Jeff, then. So, are you going to shuffle it? Are you going to do this?
Yeah, I'm just going to shuffle it.
Do it.
All right.
Oh.
Oh.
That's not bad.
Classic.
Yeah, all right.
Not bad.
We're having some of that.
What, should we go for like five? Five brief ones.
Okay, go on then.
Oh. Fairy Walls by Russell Brand.
We've all been there before. That's a tune.
Jeez, I'm bored of this one. Overplayed.
It is overplayed, to be fair.
Oh, this is... So what's that? Spotify do this brilliant thing which called Discover Weekly.
Oh yeah, I love that, man. Yeah, it's really good.
And this is one of the bands that I found on that.
Okay.
It's called 311.
Okay. Nice.
And last one.
Go on, last one.
Oh, it's a band called Bender. It reminded me of Joe, so... Again, this was a Discover Weekly thing.
Yeah.
Jeff's the comedian of the band.
Obviously. Alright, cool, man.
That wasn't even bad. The next was Fallout Boy.
Yay.
I'm just having... I don't get any uncool answers. Alright, anyway, so... Should we get into the next song?
Yeah, no, we should probably do that.
Alright, so the next track we're talking about is Cover Story. So tell me about this one.
Cover Story is a requiem.
It started out as a bedroom jam.
To Joe's date. He had a terrible, terrible Tinder date.
We were all sort of newly single last year, which, without getting too deep, was like really new ground, especially for me and Joe. So we just kind of went a bit wild and were, lads.
I use that very loosely by, you know, going, oh, look, we've had half of Shandy. Do stop it, Joe, you are bad. But yeah, no, so we'd obviously never ventured into the whole world of Tinder and stuff like that. So right. We thought, you know, we'll give it a go and see what happens. So,
and then it became a horrible addiction.
Yeah, so we'll obviously very soon after the band got together, we had a band chat, it's just easier. So we get this little video from Joe, and he's sitting in his car, and it couldn't have looked any weirder. He's sitting in his car, it's all dark, and he's like, so basically I'm on this date, and the girl's just run out of the car. And we're just like, yeah, what have you done? Like, it's for loose dating, Joe. Like, what have you been doing? But yeah, so basically we were just laughing about it, and we come together and wrote Cover Story. It was kind of about all our funny experiences and crazy people we've met and all that sort of stuff.
Cool. For so long it only had one verse. I just kept repeating it.
Mm.
Yeah.
we were writing other stuff at the time. Like, as you said, it was a bedroom jam. So, right. Like, I just sort of put it on the back bench, focused on the other stuff that we were writing. And then eventually, when it came into fruition, I was like, write a second verse for this.
He never lets me live it down either. Every time we introduce a song.
This song
is about a Joe Tinder date.
Oh, really? Every time?
For God's sake.
So
my girlfriend's in the crowd.
I kind of feel like I need to hear the story, though, mate. Come on.
It's just,
is it really bad?
It's not actually that bad. It was just more of like a, I don't understand what just happened. We were sitting there talking in the car, and we...
Then he looked... Oh, no, you had a call from your mum or something like that.
Yeah, that's it. And then... So, I had the phone call. It was only like a quick phone call off the phone. And that was it. Yeah, we were stopped at a set of traffic lights. That was the weird part. It's not like we were stopped anywhere.
In the middle of the road?
In the middle of the road. Yeah.
Like, did she see your, like, sex toy bag or something? The gift basket?
I think he's got that hidden. He's got that hidden.
Yeah, I told you to take that. I thought it had.
That's why I don't have a spare tire. That's where it's hidden. But, you know, so she didn't know about that.
And she just ran out?
Yeah. But, like, the weird part was I had to pull over on the side of the road further up because obviously the lights changed and all that. And she didn't come back, but her bags and everything were still in my car. So I was like, what do I even do now? So I asked the band, and it horribly backfired.
What did you do? Did she get the bags back?
She came back about 5-10 minutes later. I had no idea what had happened, and she's like, "Oh, sorry, I just saw a friend of mine." I was just like, "Yeah, I should have."
In that time,
well, that's a perfectly reasonable explanation to run out of a car at a traffic light.
Spiraled out of control.
Should have swiped right.
Yeah.
Tinder is. So, I heard this story today about this woman who was on a date with a guy, and she was like feeling all weird and sick, and so she wanted to leave. Did you hear this story? It was on Facebook doing the rounds, and so she was like, "Okay, I want to leave." And it's okay. He drove her back, and then she was feeling okay, so she said, "Come in." Then she was feeling sick again, so she asked him to leave. Middle of the night, she started hearing things downstairs. Fast forward it a bit. Anyway, basically, he was setting up a kill room in her kitchen.
Oh.
So he came in the house, he put his keys down next to hers, and then when he left, he took both sets of keys, and assuming that she was drugged, because she was feeling sick because he drugged her. And yeah, the police got involved, and yeah, it was like a whole Dexter thing.
Oh, wow, it wasn't that bad for me then.
That explains why we have not heard from Tom in a while.
Sorry, Kat.
Anyway, we digress a little bit. Let's get back. So, Cover Story. That's the whole story behind Cover Story.
Yeah, it is indeed.
Let's give it a listen.
Baby, I'm taking you out, and it's going so well. We're driving around this place called hell. Gotta sit still, watch you escape. Well, I guess you found your second day. Baby, I'm your cover story. Maybe you don't wanna see me. Baby, take me out of glory. I'll burn it down so you can see that I'm on your ship to drown, and no one knows how to save you. Baby, I'm your cover story. Burning both ends, the tear in your heart will never mend. Love it cuts through, see your embrace. What's it gonna take for this heart to break? Baby, I'm your cover story. Maybe you don't wanna see me. Baby, take me out of glory. I'll burn it down
Never knew that you could have this power over me. Takes me 3 bucks hour. Looking at the clock tick through every hour. I'm always on call when she wants me around her to use me, abuse me, confuse me. And surely she knows how to prove what she's done. She'll excuse me, excuse me. But I seem to forget the point of this, cause now I'm less than impressed.
So let me explain in details of glory. You can give me all and then you ignore me. I never call you, yeah, you call when you're horny. Displeased on my knees, misbelieved before me. What does it take to take all the glory? To make you all mine on my territory? Cause there's time for you inside purgatory. Makes me hate to have a chapter in your cover story. Wow! If you're drowning, no one knows how to save you. Baby, I'm your cover story. Maybe you are mine. Woo! Baby, I'm your cover story. Maybe you don't want to see me. Baby, take me out, glory. I'll burn it down so you can see that I'm on your ship. You're drowning. No one knows how to save you. Baby, I'm your cover story. Maybe you are mine too.
All right then, so back in with the boys. So, wee lads. So we're going to talk about the third track, Wasted Time, shortly, but I want to delve a little bit deeper into the minds of the Saramona boys. Ooh, from adolescence territory.
Oh, that's
today.
Really dangerous. Sorry.
So you guys got together on a cold January. What was that, last year? Year before?
Last year.
Okay, so just over a year you've been together. 18 months or so. Yes. You've been together, and so you guys, Jethro and Rob, met at a party.
Yes,
and that's how that came about.
Oh, yeah. All of us met at the party. Yeah. Yes.
Oh, you all there together. Yes. Yeah. So what were you doing before that, Jeff? What were you, like, solo stuff or you've always been writing? You said.
Yeah, no, I've always been writing. I've only. Plug. I've only recently started my solo project, which I'm sure I'll plug some more later on. I'm in a grunge band called Pressurehead, which I play bass in.
Okay.
And we've been gigging for 5 years, so it's just been around the circuit. And before that, like, I've played in, when I was in uni, I played in jazz funk fusion bands and all sorts of weird stuff. There was a little grime scene running as well that I used to be in part of. And just do bits and bobs.
Cool.
And okay. Before that, and playing drums and guitar and stuff in other bands. Like.
Oh, really? So pretty varied musical education you've had then?
Yeah.
All the way through, different genres, different instruments.
Music at Dartford Northwest Kent. Yay! Yeah. And then I went to uni to do popular music. And it's very just music, everything.
When you were looking to recruit, so you were looking for a singer for the band, guys, right?
Yeah.
Do you write the music, or were you looking for someone? Because Jeff, it sounds like you write a lot of the tunes.
Well.
Or how was that? Were you looking for someone to also come on board
kind
as a writer?
Of a mixed bag, really. Like, we all sort of write. Even Rob writes on the guitar as well.
Yeah. Mm. I mean, I think I've helped with some of the lyrics, and like Life Jacket, I wrote that. Like, Joe made a riff, and then went from that, but. We all have like a massive input in, really. So it's like, or Jeff might write a whole song, and then I'll go, oh, what about this? This sounds quite cool. And he'll go, oh, yeah, I like that. So we're really open, aren't we?
From being a lot of bands, like, I think when I first joined, that the one thing I kept saying was, play whatever you're happy playing. Like, if for instance, like I said to Joe, like, oh, that riff sounds good, it might sound better like this. And he turned around, you know, he gave it a go and went, you know what, I prefer playing it the other way. Then that's the way he should play it.
That's it. Like,
okay.
That's the rule of the band that everyone enjoys.
It's very diplomatic.
Because being in other bands where we've been told, you know, you've got to play things like this, and you've got to play it like that, and it just becomes monotonous and
almost it's not chore. Conducive to proper art, right? You can't restrict things.
That's it.
Exactly. Yeah.
And then I think you can see that in jams. You can see that when we play live, that we all just genuinely enjoy everything we're playing and singing.
Awesome. Yeah.
And that it is all a part of us, and that's how we wanted to portray our part in this piece of art.
Cool, man. Okay. And so Joe and Rob, you were in the band already, and how did that come about? How did you guys get together?
Well, this is going back in the history books.
Yeah, so
like, is Saramona an old project, or
it's quite a new thing, isn't it, really? So, well, before Saramona, We were in two rival bands. This is when we were like,
oh, really?
18, 19. Yeah. Yeah. So we always got on, to be fair.
Yeah, we were fine. And the rest of the band.
How does a band rivalry work exactly? is that a real thing?
Yeah, it was strange because I've noticed now, like, the scene's a lot tighter. Maybe I think it's because we're older. And,
yeah, it's a lot of teenage.
We are wise and we don't care. You know, it's just playing music. But like, yeah, when we were younger, it was like friendly competitiveness. You know?
Sure. Okay.
So, but yeah,
well, for me, it was anyway.
Yeah, maybe not. Yeah, other members. But yeah, so I was in a band called Indiana. It was mainly funk predominantly, so it was like Chili Peppers, Rage Against the Machine. So all my influence kind of come heavily from that, sort of like funk drumming and all that sort of stuff.
Right.
So,
okay.
Yeah, and then we had a lead singer that was a rapper, so that was quite interesting.
Okay.
And then we'd play alongside Joe. You want to say?
As Rob saying, we played in well, it says rival bands. It weren't really. It's just like I was saying. It's because it was a lot of.
No, it was. I
it was. It was 100% rivals. I hate.
I'm spilling you to put you on.
Chokes on you. I called it in my mouth.
That's how the ceremony was formed.
Yeah, so I was in a band called Three-Sided Square. Like,
it's a triangle.
It is a triangle, but to be fair, I wasn't the one who came up with the name. I just turned up and hoped for the best nine times out of ten.
What's your opinion on that name?
It was a crap name. It was a terrible, terrible name. But
it's not a great name, is it?
No, it's not a good name, no. It
sticks in your head, though.
It does, to be fair.
Yeah, it's a fucking triangle.
Yeah. That's it. Yeah. But, so like the band that I was in before was very sort of like punk orientated, like with a like Blink, Green Day, that sort of Alkaline Trio, that sort of punk. Not like, I wouldn't say like traditional punk like Clash or anything like that. But and then that's how we sort of, because we knew each other from Rochester, like we used to all hang out down.
Grungers.
Yeah, that's
when we were kids.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Okay.
But we met at Medway Hospital like really randomly. We hadn't spoken to each other in like a few years, and we both asked if we were doing anything musically, and we said no, so we started jamming, and it was just a laugh, really, wasn't it? We just did it because we hadn't had a chance to, and then eventually we thought, we're making all right stuff, why don't we branch out? So we got the bassist and brought Tom, and then brought Gavin, the other guitarist, the other unimportant members. and then we just got lucky finding Jeff, really, because we'd really struggled to find the lead singer that we liked. Just bumped into him. He was being Jeff, singing at a house party. Look at me,
man. Yeah, I was.
But it worked out. We brought him up to a jam.
Cool, man. Okay.
Hit it off. Because I picked Jeff up, and as we were driving back in the car, we literally just was stopping talking. We were like, oh my God, we'll do this. And he was like, so I guess I'm in the band then. And I was like, yeah. And then that was kind of it, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Awesome, man. That's great.
It sort of like makes me laugh that he had to sort of have to bring himself down to earth in that sense, like, so I am in the band. It was like, yeah, no, you know you're in the band.
You are playing with questioning gods now.
Now I am the band.
Awesome. All right, well, I'm going to get into this next track, and I'm going to pick up some other bits from that story you were just telling us in a sec. So let's just get into the third track. So we're talking about Wasted Time. So tell me about this one.
This is actually quite fresh to us. This is an idea I wrote almost a year ago, and it was just something that we had loads of different ideas flying about at the time, so it is on the back catalogue of things to work on, and it was only very recently I said, oh, why don't we try and do something with this, and everyone sort of agreed, and that's what we're doing. Though it was a song, a lot of my songs are about relationships because I've been notoriously terrible at them, and
Casanova.
Yeah, I am.
I won't get another girlfriend 2 weeks later. Yeah, we'll finally get married.
And so it was about a previous relationship that I was in, and it was something that sort of resonated quite deeply inside of me. So, and I think that came across in the melody and in the lyrics themselves, and even in the guitar playing. It's a whole bag of emotions in there.
Okay, nice.
So it's just me screaming down a microphone for 20 minutes while Joe cries.
Why don't you love me? Why don't you love me?
So that's awesome. That's Wasted Time.
All right, man. Well, let's give it a listen then. So this is Wasted Time.
1, 2, 3, 4. Thank you.
heart never fall. I'll stay in arms reach so you can grab my palms. I'll hold your hands, you hold my heart. But just wait, if I could explain myself, just give me a taste, yeah, of you. If I could explain myself, I never would have wasted your time, your time. Parallel lines, follow the map, or just to find that we've been walking them all of this time. I should have seen, or I must be blind. But just wait, if I could explain myself, just give me a taste of you. If I could explain myself, I never would have wasted your time, your time, your time. Could explain myself, just give me a taste of you. If I could explain myself, I never would have wasted your time, your time, your time. Oh no, no, if I could explain
okay then, so final track we're coming up for. So I don't have many other questions to kind of draw this podcast out any longer, but I'm intrigued by the name of the band, so I'm hoping this isn't a 30-second story about where the name Saramona came from.
Well,
oh, brilliant. Okay.
Oh, well, okay, no, I've got this. When I was born,
oh, no, 30 seconds.
I was a baby.
Okay.
And then I grew up into a toddler and eventually became an adult and met Rob. Right, no, so the name's, it was just one of those things. There's a band in New Zealand, I think.
Don't say the name of those sewers.
No, we can. They're called Violent Soho.
And really good grunge band.
Really good grunge band. And I showed him a song called Muscle Junkie or Covered in Chrome, one of the two. Again,
Covered in Chrome.
Yeah. Amazing songs. And obviously when you listen to music that you really dig, you're like, oh, I wonder what else they put out. And eventually he came across a song called Saramona Said, and that just sort of vibed with him, I guess.
Yeah, just resonated in my head. Like, because the whole video, they're in a car and they're like driving around Australia and they're all like skating and stuff, which I guess reminded me of, like, especially when we were younger, yeah, like when we were grungers and stuff. Just that freedom, just the ability to do what you want. And Saramona just said that to me, if I'm honest.
So, cool, okay.
Yeah.
It's a cool name, different. I must say. Yeah. It's like, I talk about this a lot on this podcast, of how the name came about, and like, most band names are just shit. Like, they don't mean anything, or they're just a bit stupid. But I kind of like it. Saramona, it kind of feels like it flows.
Like a three-sided square.
A three-sided square, yeah.
Indiana was good.
Yeah,
I thought that one too. Yeah,
no, Indiana. No, yeah, I didn't mention that because I liked Indiana, but three-sided square is a funny one.
Yeah, no,
it don't make sense, man.
No,
come on. Indiana's cool though. I like it. Yeah. I like it. It made me think of Indiana Jones. Was my first thought. I don't know if that's
yes. We
meant
used to get
be.
That a lot in the past. Yeah, yeah. I got it from Danny California.
Shut up. I think they shut up.
Shut up.
Indy. So yeah, all right. We're gonna get into the 5-minute song challenge shortly, but we're gonna talk about the final track today. So tell me about this, Buried Alive.
It's a fucking banger is what it is.
Yeah.
Nice to write your own review, isn't it?
Yeah. Tell you what, we love that. So it's not so much that we love that song, it's our fans love that song.
Okay.
It's the one that we always play last at the end of a gig.
Right.
And it came about like just sort of off the cuff. It was Joe and Tom went out the side to have a smoke during a practice, yeah. And I picked up the guitar. Gav left his guitar and picked up the bass, and obviously Rob was on drums. And
don't like to move.
Gav started off with this bass line, which was the structure of the whole song. If it was not for you, Gav, we could never have done it. So he started off with this bass line and just went doom, 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 doom. And then Rob was like, get it, get it. And I was like, oh, I'm going to do something like Hendrix-y, Led Zeppelin-y sort of style, because predominantly I like playing like jazzy, funky chords anyway when I'm by myself. And that's how I touch myself at night. And I just
and cry.
And then I was like, bow dig it, dig it, bow dig it, dig it. And I just carried on with that. And I thought, for a chorus, like, we want something that's really powerful. So it's just three, like, power chords, that's all it is, and then back into that main riff. And I just started shouting these words out, like, while we were playing. And I was like, my baby, don't tell no lies. And it was only because I couldn't sing that high, so I had to shout it. But it just worked. It just worked. Yeah. And then predominantly, I have this issue with writing choruses, so I have to write them down on paper. I can't just come up with a chorus. And I'm a bit of a perfectionist with choruses, so I have to write them down and get them right. If I'm just jamming, I can't do it. So my usual thing is shouting. So the chorus came up, and I just went, yeah, buried alive! And that was it. That was in it.
For more information on Jeff, you can tune at thejeffshow.com. Yeah, I mean, it's a song we've got a lot of praise from fans. Like, we don't...
It's hooky, it's catchy.
Yeah, we have a lot of people have come up to us and it's stuck in their heads, and we've had people shout us at gigs and stuff. And
okay.
It's not got a lot of meaning behind it other than the fact that it's fun and people enjoy it, and that seems to be the song that reaches out to people quite a lot. So.
I see.
And we just like... I mean, from our own thing, just like going out, having a few drinks, having a laugh with our mates, and that really seems to bring that out in people and closes the set nicely. And
it's a very chanty song as well.
Yeah, so it's just...
It's nice.
It brings out your inner alcoholic.
We've had the pubs all charting it out because it's really simple.
Yeah,
and that's the thing. Like, I don't mean to like sound belittling or anything like that. We all do it. Even I do it. If there is a simple... catchy
Seven
hooky
definitely
anything like that sticks with you, and that's something like when you are a little bit drunk you can just sing along to
that
whole sense of unity is that the one thing that I really like is where you can get people singing your songs. And honestly, like, in other bands that I've been in and am in and stuff like that, we don't really have that. We focus so much on writing, or we used to focus so much on writing, like, really elicit sort of like complex songs and things like that, and have such deep intrinsic meaning into them, and have to stick in all these fantastic words, and to have an audience actually singing your song back to you.
Yeah, it's nice.
I was going to say it must be a real big buzz.
Definitely.
To know something you've created.
Yeah. Phenomenal.
You're doing something you love anyway by being up there and they're singing it back at you.
And people are like, that's because she's buried alive. And I'm like, fucking, yeah, it is. No, it is.
I always imagine that moment where, for the very first time, when an artist doesn't sing it and they put the microphone out to the crowd. Like, that must be like the most amazing moment for a musician.
That is the most amazing moment.
I mean, going back to sort of Jeff doing some of the live performance stuff, like, me and Tom will just be keeping the beat and the rhythm, and he'll literally just put the mic out and people sing it back. And it's
brilliant,
like,
man.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Spring it on random audience members before.
Well, that's probably wandered into the crowd that time at Pogo, wasn't it?
When you just fucked off from the stage whilst playing.
I'm going for a walk.
All right. It's like, I guess I'm going to have to follow him. Like, you got to be careful with Joe. You got to keep an eye on a tight leash. If he's left unsupervised for too long, all kinds of crazy shit can happen. But yeah, awesome. And just sprung it on random audience members. I'm like, why was she not telling any lies? Because she was buried alive. Fantastic.
The whites of someone's eyes, though, when you do
put
that.
Them on. Oh, mate.
On the spot,
like,
what's
would be
the
like
song?
The pressure, though.
Oh, my God. This poor girl. I was about to say, this poor girl, I pulled it out on. This poor girl that was in the audience one day, and I just went, ah, and she went, that's because she's buried alive.
Really?
Bless her, though. She did it.
Oh, brilliant. Bless her. All right, wicked. So let's give this a listen then. So we're going to come straight back from this, straight into the 5-minute song challenge, which I'm very much looking forward to.
Awesome.
I'm sure it's going to be amazing. So this is the final track today. This is Buried Alive. All right then, so here we go. 5-minute song challenge by Sarah Mona, the world famous.
Can't even get a fucking pad to rest properly. That's
Ready, guys?
I think so.
Okay, take it away. Nice. Caught me by surprise there with the ending. Very nice, guys. All right, fantastic. That was amazing. Jeez, that was so good. I love the loud bits.
I love it.
I feel like that took confidence to write that in.
Oh, he's got that. Yeah. Oh, yeah. In abundance.
Oh, brilliant. That was so good. Thank you so much, guys.
Thank you for having us, man. 100%.
Absolute pleasure. Absolute pleasure. So that was the guys from Saramona. Appreciate your time coming all the way from, was it Medway you come down from to Margate? Bit of a drive for you. Appreciate your time. And thank you, listeners, for joining us today. And don't forget to go and give us all the ratings on the iTunes store and all those cool things. And of course, tell all your friends about this amazing episode, this amazing hour or so of entertainment you've had. And we'll catch you next week.
Thank you.